My guest in the studio studied for 4 years at the Australian Institute of Music in Sydney after developing an ear for music from the age of five when she began piano lessons. She's performed at Sydney venues such as Venue 505, Foundry 616 and Play Bar. And she was the voice behind the song Changing Seat, which aired on episode 4 of the ABC TV series Pulse. And she's about to release her debut EP, Place and Time, which we just heard. Phoebe Day, welcome to Now's the Time.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
Now, you started piano lessons at the age of five, but at what point in life did you, make that decision to become a singer as well?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was always singing, and I think part of me wanted to learn piano so that I could sing and play at the same time. And it wasn't until maybe in my mid to late high school years that one of my music teachers said, you should really think about singing properly and getting some lessons and really diving into that world. And it took me a little while because I was really shy and I was really used to hiding behind the keyboard. But it was just, yeah, something that I kind of did by chance and thought I'll take a risk here and go and get some lessons. And I found that that was the best thing I had ever done.
And so what about jazz music then? People just don't discover jazz. I mean, jazz is something you've got to seek out. How did that happen?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I always say that I was really lucky that my dad had excellent taste in music and was such a lover of jazz and blues. And I think from when I was a young baby, he was always playing, you know, all those great jazz records like John Coltrane and Miles Davis and all of those people. And I think listening to those from such a young age, I just developed this infatuation and this love for that sound, and it kind of blew me away. And it's been such a huge influence on my life that I don't really remember a time when I wasn't listening to those artists, especially vocalists like Billie Holiday and Nina Simone. And yeah, through my teenage years, once I started studying piano and exploring some of the jazz piano that I had been listening to, like people like Herbie Hancock and Oscar Peterson, that I started to really dive into that world and I found all those great vocalists. And I guess I was just really lucky that it suited my voice.
So who would you count as your main influences in jazz, and are they necessarily jazz singers?
Yeah, interesting. I think for me, definitely Billie Holiday was one of the huge influences on my vocal. And definitely people like Nina Simone, although Nina Simone hasn't always been classified as an exclusively jazz singer. People like Anita O'Day and Ella Fitzgerald. Ella Fitzgerald, she was such an instrument and she really used her voice as an instrument. And that's what really inspired me. I remember the first time I listened to her scat for about 20 minutes on a live performance and I was completely blown away. And yeah, I guess I just loved that quality of her voice, that she was able to use her voice as a real instrument, and that, yeah, kind of blew me away, really influenced me as a singer.
Yes, there's been some of those over the years that have been quite stunning in that regard, and the Australian singer Kerry Bedell also springs to mind as a marvellous scat singer that is able to bring out the instrumental qualities of her voice.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Now, you've penned all original tunes for the EP.
Yes.
Does writing songs come easy for you?
I think so. I've been writing songs probably since I was about 8 years old, and it's just been such an authentic way to express myself. It's just what's always come so naturally, and I don't think I could really ever imagine myself not writing music. So it's always been a really important part of my musical journey. And I've found that as I've developed as a vocalist, I've also developed as a songwriter at the same time, and that's really pushed me vocally. Writing music really makes you think about what you're singing and how you're singing and what you're, I guess, portraying to your audience and what you are saying as a musician, which is such an important part of being a musician these days, is having something to say and being able to express that really authentically and effectively.
And do some of the jazz standards still find their way into your repertoire?
Oh, they definitely do.
Yeah.
Definitely songs like You Don't Know What Love Is. That's been a really favorite tune of mine. Chet Baker's version of that really blows me away.
Yeah.
Stella by Starlight is another one that I really love. Yeah, all those kind of tunes really just, they kind of stay with you. Once you hear them and you sing them a few times, they just hang around, especially in a sentimental mood as well. That's one of my all-time favourites.
The members of your band, you brought in Joel tonight.
Yeah, Joel is my saxophonist and my producer. He mixed all of the songs that you're hearing now and played saxophone and arranged some of the parts on that. I've got the incredible Mike Pensini joining me on piano, and Mike is just, yeah, he's phenomenal. If you haven't had a chance to hear Mike, please do check him out because his skills on the piano are ridiculous. We've got the wonderful Peter Koloff joining us on bass, and Steve Marin joining us on drums, and also my lovely backing vocalist Jody Cohen, who I studied with at AIM.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Let's get a little deeper into what drives you as far as interpreting a song. What are the important elements for you?
Definitely emotional connection with a song. That's a huge part of what really drives me. When you listen to a singer or even an instrumentalist and they can make you feel something with a single note, that's definitely what drives me. And I've always strived to be able to do that as a vocalist, to make every single note and every phrase count. And when you really feel what you're playing or singing about, I think it makes a difference, and people can feel that when they listen to you. And it makes the difference between listening to, you know, a computer that's created this beat to listening to a drummer who's got all of these little nuances that you wouldn't hear on a computer. I love really rich melodies and harmony that really outlines that melody. Yeah, melody is such a huge part of my music, and I always strive to make melodies that are memorable and really effective in communicating the essence of the song. I do love a good instrumental solo, which is why that first track that you heard, Place and Time, features the incredible Joel Saner on saxophone. As a jazz-inspired artist, I think that you can't go past a good solo. I mean, that's what jazz is all about, improvisation.
That's right. Exactly right.
And yeah, when you're communicating with other members in the band, you can just come up with so many endless possibilities. So I think that's really important part of what drives me.
There was an interesting question mark over a singer that had been requested a song on stage in Italy only a couple of nights ago. And this lady is white. She's from Australia. She was asked to sing Strange Fruit. And she politely declined and gave her a quite poignant reason why she declined. I was wondering what your attitude might be if someone asked you to sing Strange Fruit.
I actually used to sing Strange Fruit quite a lot, only in my bedroom though, never on stage. I completely understand that position. That song is it's filled with sorrow, and it's such a powerful song that has a really intense meaning and story behind the tune. And it's one of those songs where if you're a vocalist who really likes to put yourself in the shoes of the songwriter or the vocalist who originally sang that song, it's really hard to do that if you haven't experienced what that person has experienced. So I completely understand. And if someone had asked me to sing Strange Fruit on stage, I might decline it as well.
Yeah, no, it's it really, this particular discussion really engaged me in it. Now, Phoebe, let's continue talking about yourself as quite a incredibly talented visual artist as well.
Oh, thank you.
A browse of your website shows an abundance of drawings and watercolors of artists who've obviously, you know, you've spoken about tonight.
Yeah.
Sarah Vaughan, Louis Armstrong, Jimi Hendrix, Miles Davis. How did this aspect of your talent develop?
That's an interesting question, and I'm so glad that you asked me because I haven't been able to elaborate on this in an interview before. My mum is actually a visual artist, and she's a portrait artist. So I spent pretty much all of my childhood watching her draw, and she would teach me how to draw. And I think that I was so inspired by watching her create these portraits that I kind of developed that skill and that talent through her. My mum is an incredible artist, and she always captures her characters through the eyes. And she always taught me that you can really capture a person's personality through a portrait. And she always paints people that have inspired her. So I guess I was inspired by her projects and decided to start drawing and painting the people who really influenced me. I've been doing that for most of my life, and it's really handy when you can do your own album art.
I'm sure it'd come in very, very handy. Maybe a self-portrait.
Yeah.
So what's the next episode on the horizon for you, Phoebe?
My plan for next year is to come up with a whole new EP, to write and record it and release it as soon as I can.
We're going to play Without You. Tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, Without You is that song that is really dear to me. It's a really gentle and tender love song, and it's the song that allowed me to really explore the ballad side of the music that I love. So it features the incredible piano playing of Mike Pensini. And yeah, it's. I hope you guys enjoy it.
Thanks for joining us, Phoebe
Thank
Day.
Thank you so much for having me. Turn off our